For centuries, navigating across an ocean meant you had to know how to actually read the stars.
Right, you couldn't just guess.
Yeah, exactly. You needed an astrolabe, a sextant, and like a really deep understanding of complex spherical trigonometry.
Which obviously most people don't have.
Right. If you couldn't do the math yourself, you simply couldn't sail this ship. But then, well, the GPS was invented.
And that changed everything.
Completely. Suddenly, a little blue dot on a glowing screen tells you exactly where you are.
The technical barrier to finding your exact location on the globe, I mean, it just vanished overnight. It became a tool that literally anyone could use.
But, and this is the big catch, knowing your coordinates on a screen does not mean you know how to sail a ship through a hurricane.
Oh, definitely not.
The GPS doesn't tell you if you're, steering directly into a hidden reef. And that is the exact warning at the heart of a really fascinating document we are exploring in our deep dive today.
Yeah, we're looking at chapter one of the AI Native Investor curriculum.
Right, the one published in April of 2026.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it tackles a reality that, well, we are all living in right now. Because for about 70 years, serious investment analysis had these massive, almost insurmountable technical and financial barriers, keeping the average person completely out.
Okay, let's unpack this. Think about what it took to be a serious investor just a decade ago.
It was a very exclusive club.
Yeah, you essentially had two choices. You either needed to pony up like $24,000 a year for a Bloomberg terminal.
Which is literally a specialized keyboard with color-coded keys just to access proprietary data.
Right, crazy expensive. Or you needed the technical chops to code 300 lines of Python just to scrape public financial filings from government databases.
And if you couldn't do either of those things, you were just locked out of the game entirely.
But today, those barriers are entirely gone. I mean, a single sentence spoken to an AI agent can now do a full day's worth of financial data gathering in under a minute.
And it does it for pennies.
Literally pennies.
And for you listening, whether you are just casually managing your own retirement account or actively trying to build a really sophisticated portfolio, this fundamentally flips the game.
It really does.
Because this new technology, it doesn't actually make investing easier. It just moves the hardest part of the process from gathering the data to judging the data.
Wow. Yeah.
The old rules of access are gone.
Right.
So if you don't adapt to this new reality, you risk being perfectly, confidently wrong in your financial decisions.
Since technical skills like coding or navigating institutional software are no longer the bottleneck, I was really trying to visualize what actually took their place.
Right.
And it feels exactly like when calculators finally replaced long division in schools.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
Right. What's fascinating here is how the source document makes a vital distinction between a simple productivity improvement and a true bottleneck shift.
Yes, that part is so crucial. A productivity improvement just means you're doing the exact same thing you always did,
Yeah.
Just faster.
Like giving a lumberjack a sharper axe.
Exactly. They chop more wood. But the best lumberjack is still the one with the strongest swing. A bottleneck shift, however, means the old skill, the thing everyone used to compete on, is simply no longer the constraint.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Right. The entire hierarchy of who is a good investor reorders around a completely new skill.
Because the fundamental rules of math didn't change just because we got calculators. I mean, addition is still addition.
Right.
But suddenly, the math test wasn't about whether you remembered to carry the one during a massive division problem. The test was about whether you knew which equation you were supposed to use in the first place.
Exactly. Because anyone can now prompt an AI agent to run a comprehensive 10K analysis.
Which used to take days.
Days. That means taking a massive 200-page annual report that a company is legally forced to file, grinding through the management discussion, the balance sheets, the cash flow statements, and just returning a clean summary. Yeah, AI can compute efficiency ratios, meaning how well the company uses its assets to generate income and flag anomalies compared to the semiconductor sector median, all in 10 seconds.
So the analysis itself is no longer your competitive edge, but the source points out a really critical hidden cost to this new convenience.
The loss of tactile familiarity.
Yes. When you used to build an analysis pipeline by hand, spending a whole Saturday typing numbers from a PDF into an Excel sheet, you developed this tactile familiarity with the data.
You would find weird things completely by accident.
Exactly.
You might notice a strange, sudden spike in administrative expenses or spot a bizarre lease obligation buried in footnote number 17.
Because you were forced to look at it.
Right. You had to touch every single number, and that friction created accidental discovery. That was a genuine source of edge. But when you delegate the analysis to an agent, that tactile familiarity is completely stripped away.
You just get the clean, polished summary at the end. And to make matters trickier, AI agents inherently default to consensus narratives. I mean, they pull consensus earnings estimates and they use consensus discount rates.
Which is the rate at which the broader market collectively agrees future cash is worth today.
Right, exactly. So if you aren't careful, you end up getting total market consensus dressed up to look like brilliant original research.
It's a huge crap.
But wait, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Sure.
If my AI can do a massive 10K analysis in under a minute, and it's doing it for everyone, wouldn't that just level the playing field completely?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah. Doesn't that mean the average person listening to this is now on perfectly equal footing with Wall Street hedge funds?
It is so tempting to think so.
Yeah.
But the curriculum is very clear that this is not a level playing field. Institutional investors still have massive advantages that AI agents simply cannot replicate for the retail investor.
Like what?
Alternative proprietary data. We are talking about real-time satellite imagery tracking the number of cars in retail parking lots.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Or massive troves of anonymized credit card transaction data to predict quarterly sales before they are even announced. Mm-hmm. And of course, pure algorithmic speed.
So the public data playing field is leveled, but the private data field is still heavily walled off.
Precisely. The analytical tooling gap on public data has closed.
Mm-hmm.
So the new edge for you isn't the ability to summarize the public data.
Right.
Your edge is asking the question about that public data that nobody else thought to ask.
Yeah.
It is about spotting the structural assumption that everyone else's AI agent simply accepted as an undisputed fact.
Which means your entire identity in the investing process has to completely change.
Yes.
Because the bottleneck is now your personal judgment. You are no longer playing the same role you would have played 3 years ago. You are no longer the junior analyst grinding away in an Excel spreadsheet.
You're the boss now.
Exactly. You are now the portfolio manager, the PM of a mid-market hedge fund.
It is a profound structural shift in how we need to view ourselves. In a traditional hedge fund, the junior analysts are the ones reading the filings, building the mathematical models, and writing the research memos.
Doing the grunt work.
Right. But they do not make the final buying decisions. The PM makes the decisions. In our modern landscape, your analysts are specialized AI agents working around the clock.
So your job is to read their memos, spot the weaknesses in their logic, push back on bad assumptions, and make the final call.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The curriculum is incredibly honest about where this PM metaphor actually breaks down in the real world.
Yeah, it's not a perfect analogy.
Because a real portfolio manager usually has 20 years of incredibly hard-won experience. They have pattern recognition built for making thousands of decisions, many of them disastrous, with millions of dollars on the line.
The internal database of scars.
Right. Most of us using AI agents today do not have that database.
Furthermore, human analysts will fight back. If a junior analyst thinks the PM is making a terrible mistake, they will argue.
To protect their own career and reputation.
Exactly. AI agents, by their very nature, do not have mortgages to pay. They are agreeable. They will rarely push back on your bad ideas unless you explicitly engineer them to be adversarial.
Wait, if my AI analyst has absolutely zero memory of the terrible stock pick I made last year, and is basically programmed to be a yes man to my prompts, I'm just flying blind.
You really are.
The burden of remembering, of doubting, and of enforcing discipline falls entirely on me. So how do I actually build guardrails against my own AI so I survive this?
Well, the text outlines four specific learnable skills that become critical when agents handle the grunt work. Let's start with the first one, verification discipline.
Is that about fighting the urge to be seduced by a beautiful PDF?
That is exactly what it is. Verification discipline is the unnatural instinct to actively interrogate polished AI output rather than just accepting it blindly.
Because it looks so good.
Right. When an agent hands you a gorgeous 40-page valuation report with perfectly formatted charts in 10 seconds, human nature says, wow, this looks highly professional. I trust it.
Yeah, I've fallen for that.
We all have. The discipline is ignoring the formatting, digging into the appendix, and asking, wait, what baseline revenue growth rate did you assume in year three? And what happens to this entire conclusion if I cut that growth rate in half?
That leads perfectly into the second skill they discuss, thesis discipline. I love this part of the curriculum because they bring up this concept of belief drift.
Oh, belief drift is so dangerous.
I do this all the time. You buy a stock for a very specific reason, say. You think their new artificial intelligence hardware is going to crush earnings next quarter.
Okay, good.
But then the hardware flops, the stock plummets 20%, and suddenly you're telling yourself, well, I always knew this was a 10-year long-term play. I'm just holding for the demographic macro trends.
It's amazing how our brains do that. Our memories silently mutate over time to match whatever reality is doing. It lets us pretend we were right all along, and it is the quiet destroyer of investing discipline.
So how do we stop it?
Thesis discipline means writing down a specific falsifiable thesis for why you are making an investment before you actually make it. If you don't write down exactly what would prove you wrong, you will always rationalize your losses.
The third skill is workflow design. You cannot just open an AI window and type research Apple for me.
No, that prompt is far too vague. You are basically asking the AI to do the judgment for you.
Right.
Workflow design is the ability to break a massive, judgment-heavy task down into agent-sized pieces with verification checkpoints along the way.
Give me an example.
So you have one agent read the 10-K strictly looking for regulatory red flags. You have a completely different agent build a financial model based on historical data.
Okay.
Then you step in, review both, and instruct a third agent to act as a short seller, trying to completely destroy the valuation the second agent just built.
That's brilliant. Which brings us to the fourth skill, and maybe the most dangerous trap, model literacy. Because an AI will compute any financial model flawlessly. The math will be perfect every single time.
But flawless math built on terrible assumptions is still terrible research.
Exactly.
Model literacy is knowing the limitations of the math itself. The text uses the concept of fat tails as a prime example here.
Right. In finance, a fat tail refers to rare extreme events like a global pandemic or a sudden market crash.
Things that traditional bell curve models assume are virtually impossible.
Yeah.
An AI will give you a perfectly calculated risk model. But if that model completely ignores the possibility of a fat tail event, the flawless math means absolutely nothing.
The big takeaway for you here is that an AI will absolutely never tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I did the math perfectly, but you are asking the fundamentally wrong question.
It just won't happen.
That situational awareness is entirely on your shoulders. So to build these four skills, traditional financial education isn't going to cut it anymore. We have to learn two very different disciplines at the exact same time.
The curriculum structures this as two interleaved tracks. Track A is the old school foundational investment theory. We were talking about understanding frameworks like Aswath Damodaran's approach to valuation.
Damodaran is the NYU professor known as the dean of valuation, right?
Yes. And his core teaching is that a discounted cash flow model, a DCF, is not actually a math problem.
Which sounds crazy at first.
Right. A DCF tries to project all the cash a company will ever produce in the future and discount it back to what it is worth today. But every single number in that spreadsheet is a story choice. If you project a 10% profit margin for the next decade, that isn't just a number. It is a story about how this company will fend off competitors and maintain its pricing power. Track A teaches you to read the stories behind the numbers.
And it also involves really deep historical case studies. The text explicitly mentions looking back at Enron.
Well, a classic.
Yeah, but it's not enough to just know Enron was an accounting scandal. Track A requires understanding how they actually use special purpose entities to hide massive amounts of debt off their main balance sheet.
So their public numbers looked like a hyper-growth tech company instead of a struggling pipeline business.
Exactly.
Track A also emphasizes understanding that risk is not the same thing as volatility. Volatility is just the normal day-to-day bouncing around of a stock price.
It's just noise.
Right. True risk is about drawdowns and liquidity crises. The curriculum points to the specific failure mechanism of long-term capital management, LTCM.
That was the hedge fund in the late 90s run by actual Nobel laureates, right?
Yes. They built flawless mathematical arbitrage models that assumed historical market patterns would always hold.
But they didn't, no.
When Russia unexpectedly defaulted on its debt in 1998, a massive irrational flight to safety occurred across global markets. Liquidity dried up completely.
Meaning nobody would buy what LTCM was selling at any price?
Exactly. Their flawless models couldn't account for human panic, and the fund collapsed. Track A is about understanding these failure mechanics so you don't repeat them.
But then there's Track B. Track B is the new 2026 native skill. It's called Agent Fleet Command.
Right.
If you only learn TrackBeat, like if you master commanding a massive fleet of AI agents to scrape data and build models, but you skip TrackA's fundamentals, it's like learning how to drive a Formula One car without knowing what a steering wheel does.
That is a terrifying visual.
Right. You have this 1,000-horsepower engine doing exactly what you tell it to do, but you don't understand the physics of the road.
Hmm.
The text warns that if you do this, you will just produce efficient garbage.
Efficient garbage. I love that phrase.
It will look like brilliant research, but you'll just crash into a wall at 200 miles an hour.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you need both tracks simultaneously. You need the fundamentals of track A to know what is true, and the fleet command of track B to operate at the speed of the modern market.
Makes sense.
Within track B, the curriculum details four specific agent roles you need to manage: the analyst, the red team attacking your thesis, the executor, and perhaps most interestingly, the tutor.
I found the tutor role to be such a brilliant use of the technology. The curriculum advises that when you hit a complex concept, you don't fully grasp, say, how convertible debt dilutes shares, you stop.
Just pause everything.
Yeah, you open your AI and explain the concept back to the AI in your own words. Then you ask the AI to aggressively find the gaps in your understanding. You iterate until it can no longer find flaws in your explanation.
It's not doing the work for you. It is forcing you to prove you understand the work. It is an active learning loop.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the theory, the bottleneck shift, and the two tracks. Let's make this highly practical. How do you actually begin this process today?
Good question.
The source document has this great workshop section to help you start building your judgment framework right now. And I want to issue this challenge directly to you listening.
It is a phenomenal low barrier exercise to start building that verification discipline we discussed earlier.
Step one, pick one stock that you have a personal stake in. It can be something you currently own or something you seriously considered buying recently, but it has to be real for you, not just a trending ticker symbol.
It needs to have some stakes.
Right. Step two, ask your AI agent to generate a three-paragraph bull case, meaning the strongest argument for why the stock will go up and a three-paragraph bear case why it will crash.
Okay.
Step three, read both cases without taking any notes. Step four, go back through the text with a critical eye and mark it up. Put a check mark next to claims you completely agree with, an X next to claims you disagree with, and a question mark next to claims you simply don't know enough to judge yet.
And here's the crucial step.
Yeah.
Step five. You go to the very bottom of the document and you write one specific sentence.
Just one.
The sentence format is, the claim I disagree with most strongly is blank, and I believe this because blank.
And it has to be hyper-specific. You cannot just write, the claim I disagree with is the bull case because it feels too optimistic.
No, that is completely meaningless. It has to be grounded in a structural mechanism.
Yeah.
It should sound something like, the claim I disagree with most strongly is that their data center revenue will grow at 40% annually, and I believe this because their largest enterprise customer is actively building an internal proprietary alternative to their hardware.
So what does this all mean? The source text explains that the single sentence, the specific falsifiable disagreement, is the first piece of rebar in your concrete foundation.
I love that imagery.
It is something solid enough that you can actually build an investing thesis on top of it or aggressively stress test it to see if it breaks. You aren't trying to be perfectly right yet.
No.
You are just forcing yourself to surface what you already intuitively believe, putting it into a structural form that you can argue with later.
It is about moving from passive consumption of information to active judgment. And the AI gives you a low-cost, incredibly high-speed training ground to practice this.
Which is amazing.
You can run these red teaming exercises against your own mind repeatedly. This kind of intensive, iterative stress testing used to only be available to junior analysts working inside the high-pressure walls of elite Wall Street funds.
Now you can run it yourself from your kitchen table.
Exactly.
Bringing it all together, the core message of this deep dive is clear. The grunt work barrier of investing is completely gone, but the judgment barrier remains, and it is higher and more demanding than ever. The scarcest skill in investing was actually never about finding the hidden answer.
No, it wasn't.
It was always about knowing what questions to ask the data in the first place.
This raises an important question as we look to the immediate future. The curriculum gives us the personal tools to survive, but the broader macro environment is going to be incredibly unpredictable as this technology scales.
Which leads me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. Something to just mull over as you start building your own framework with that piece of rebar.
Let's hear it.
We know, based on the text, that AI agents naturally default to pulling consensus data and presenting it back to us as original research. They are fundamentally designed to agree with the prevailing narratives.
Right.
But if millions of new retail investors are entering the market right now, and they are all using AI agents to summarize the exact same public data, well, what happens when the market itself becomes a giant algorithmic echo chamber of AI agents just agreeing with each other?
Wow.
If, as the text warns, consensus is the worst kind of wrong in investing, how do you train your judgment to spot the massive collective blind spots of an entire AI-driven market?
That is the ultimate test of the AI-native investor.
You might have the GPS on your screen now, but you still have to sail the ship and you still have to look out the window to see the storm coming. Keep questioning the map, keep red-teaming your own mind, and thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.